Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text we are considering today is Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 8th chapter. And I begin with the 11th verse. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells or lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells or who is living in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, then you will have to die. If you live according to the flesh, you will have to die. Inevitable. Destined to happen. Unavoidable. That is the verdict of God for those who are slaves to sin, debtors to the flesh. Jesus says it in this way in today's gospel. Every tree that is not making good fruit is being cut off by God and is being thrown into the fire. To live according to the flesh is not just the coarse, filthy desires, the fornication and obvious unchastity. It's everything of thought, word, and deed, all the sinful inclinations inherited through your parents, all your powers, reason, will, and mind, which is not guided by the Spirit according to God's will and word. As Jesus says, a rotten tree is not able to make good fruit. And indeed, by its fruit, you know what the flesh is all about. Therefore, Christians, do not engage with the ultimate of false prophets, that wolf in sheep's clothing, the devil, who speaks in your ear and to your flesh and your fleshly desires, just as he once spoke to Eve and Adam in the garden and induced their eye to covet what was forbidden. Satan tempts you into making your flesh your god, to do what pleases your flesh, to make you think that you need to be a slave to sin and a debtor to your flesh. He wants you to say and think, hey, I'm free from the law, therefore I can just do what I desire. And there at that point, you are fully deluded if you think you have, through the freedom of God's grace in Jesus Christ, the freedom to indulge your flesh. You do not. This is the old way of living, which is not living at all, dead in trespasses before faith in Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. You were at one point lying under God's wrath and had fallen into condemnation because of sin, and for that reason, even as you were conceived, you deserved damnation, eternal death. But now, Christians, when the Spirit lives in you, you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. You are joined by your baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. With him, you have died to sin. And with him, you have risen to new life. By the Spirit's power, the Word of God creates and sustains faith through the ongoing preaching of the gospel, the absolution of sins, the blessed meal of our Lord Christ's body and blood. This Holy Spirit lives in you, and the new man in Christ says, because I am a Christian, I should be afraid of and I should beware of sin, so that I do not again leave my freedom in Jesus Christ for my former prison of sin under the law and God's wrath, so that I do not fall into the life and from the life Christ has begun in me and fall back into a life that is no life, that is truly the way of eternal death and separation from God. Paul says, if, however, through the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Our Lord in the gospel today makes a distinction between good trees and bad trees. And in the same way, the Apostle Paul distinguishes between those who are Christians and holy and others who are without faith and the Holy Spirit, or who abandon and lose him. Some are rotten trees who live in security without repentance and faith in Christ and intentionally follow their desires against their conscience and so reject both saving faith and the Holy Spirit. Their slavery to sin and flesh is a fatal weakness. The axe is laid at the root of that tree. The fire is ready to consume it. All the temptations and desires against God's commandments, active in your nature and inciting you to sin, these are the works of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh and the body. These, as Paul says, must die. The Holy Spirit is given to you for this purpose, that now you should and can kill these sinful desires. This takes place by spiritual warfare, putting on the full armor of God, listening to and taking to heart the word of God, and receiving the means of grace, the sacraments, regularly living in your baptism, in repentance and faith. This word of God and the Spirit moves you to recognize your sin and weakness, to remember not only what God has said about sin, and when you feel the attack of the flesh and the devil, what God has also said to those false prophets that Jesus would have us beware of, and to remember what God says of you as a baptized child of his. You have his name, his adoption, his heritage, his inheritance. You belong to him, and you no longer need the flesh and the desires that it brings. You no longer need the lusting and the coveting, the anger towards others, the hatred, the jealousy, and the gossip towards others. You don't really need them. In Christ as his body, we don't need the deeds and perceived needs of our flesh, for we really have all things we really truly need from God's gracious hand. And we learn by the Spirit's power to learn to recognize that each and every day. And sometimes we learn it the hard way, but we learn. Faith in the forgiveness of sins given in Jesus Christ is life in the Spirit and killing off the deeds of the body. Through such faith, one grows stronger and resists sin and does not consent to it, nor let it come into effect. You believers are good trees and bad trees, simultaneously saint and sinner. You still have that pesky old Adam, that sinful flesh. Yet, in Christ and with his Spirit, you continue in repentance and the proper fear of God and retain that faith that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Resistance of sin, fighting against sin in weakness, is not fatal, not damnable, but it is to continue to flee back to the good tree, the really good tree, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we sing of as a tree of life with every good, from whose riven side flowed the water and the blood that give genuine and real true life in the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life to come. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, Paul continues. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Dr. Luther preached about this epistle. He said that it is so excellent and so comforting that it should be written with golden letters in our Bibles. You have, through faith in Christ, having died to this life and arisen to new life in Jesus, comfort that you are certain of divine grace, that you can regard God as your Father, and that you can appeal to him as his children. To be able to cry out, Abba, Father, dearest Father, simple, childlike words to God through the Holy Spirit, much like the inexpressible sighing, the groans too deep for words, which also come to mind that Paul will speak of later in Romans chapter 8. There is a consolation in these words. You are children of God, heirs with the Lord Christ, our dear brother. And so we're not alone. We're not without help. And these words give us confidence to implore God in our needs, to approach the throne of grace, the Spirit assuring us that you are God's child, driving your heart to cry out to him with a wholehearted appeal, and especially when in trouble, when the world turns against, when trials weigh down, when temptation and conscience are burdened and unrelenting, and grief and pain do their worst, you have someone to talk to. You have someone to appeal to, and he'll listen. It is especially in conflict and danger from the doubting of the flesh and the devil's fright and affliction. That preaching of the false prophets that Jesus warns us about, where we can, by the Spirit's consolation and assurance, answer them and their challenges as a son of God and a co-heir with Christ. Dear Father, you are certainly my dear Father, for you have given your dear and only Son for me. Therefore, you will not be angry with me. You will not disown me. You see my distress and weakness, because of which you want to help and save me. For you have given your dearest treasure to adopt me as your child. You are the true prophet, the good and only tree who has borne the fruit of my salvation and the salvation of the world, even my dear Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered all things for my sake and for all men, that through my sufferings in this life, I also may be glorified with him. So here we remember the words of the apostle, which follow our epistle text for today, Romans 8, verse 18. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory which is to be revealed in us. Memorize that verse. Take it to heart. For with that promise, we can face our dying and our rising from this life to the next with confidence, joy, hope, and expectation. And we can grieve for those who have gone on to heaven ahead of us with a confident hope. For God's children who have suffered with him in this life will be glorified with him, the crucified and resurrected and ascended Lord of us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.